Up here with me this morning on the altar table are two breakthroughs of technology. Two instruments that forever changed the way that we look at the world. We have a telescope or a spyglass, and we have a microscope. Now, it's hard to imagine a world or a time where we didn't have these two instruments at our disposal, given all the things that we can do now and looking at the world because of these two things. But there was such a time and there was such a place. I want to jump back to the 17th century in Europe. Back in 1609, there was an Italian physicist, scientist, inventor named Galileo Galilei. And he liked to do different things and tinker with different objects. And one day, he took some bits of glass and he ground them into a lens. He made two lenses. One of them was convex, and the other one was concave. And he had the brilliant idea one day of taking those two lenses and enclosing them in a cylindrical tube. And what he did was he took this tube and he looked through one end and he was surprised at what he saw. Because he looked through this tube and saw that objects that were far away looked a lot closer all of a sudden. And objects that were wee too small to be seen with the human eye all of a sudden looked really big and a lot nearer. And he called this thing, I don't know what he called this thing, but today we call this thing a telescope. This is actually a spyglass. And thanks to Phil and Betty for letting me borrow some of their toys again, or some of his toys, for the microscope and the telescope. The first one that Galileo invented was probably pretty primitive by our standards. It didn't magnify too much, just three times. But by the end of his life, he had made a telescope that was 1.7 inches in diameter and could magnify objects 33 times. Now, today we use a telescope for lots of different things. We know that back then, sailors and seafarers would use their spyglasses and point it to the horizon and look out into the depths of the ocean and see where they were going as they were navigating the seas. But Galileo took his very first telescope and instead of pointing it out, he pointed it up. And he started looking at the sky and seeing the heavens. And he was one of the first folks of modern science to notice that the moon wasn't smooth. It had mountains and craters on it. And in fact, he looked at the billions and billions of stars for the first time and was able to detect what we now know of as the Milky Way galaxy. He even took this little telescope of his and he looked at a planet called Venus, and noticed that Venus wasn't flat like a disk, but was actually more like a ball, like a sphere. And he noticed that it went in phases just like our moon, and he proposed for the first time that planets revolved around the sun. Quite revolutionary. An incredible breakthrough, very controversial for his time. Now jump ahead with me, just a couple years. Stay in the same century, on the same continent, but we'll skip over the Alps and go over to the other side of Europe, to the Netherlands. In Holland, where we'll find a Dutch man named Antoine van Leeuwenhoek, who spent his life as well grinding lenses, improving vision. And he had the brilliant idea one day of taking one of his lenses and making what was called a microscope. For the first time, he built a microscope and started looking at tiny little things. And the little things that he looked at apparently suddenly seemed a lot bigger to him. And he spent his life looking at what you couldn't see with the human eye, not because they were too far away, but because they were too small. Antoine van Leeuwenhoek, credited with building the first usable microscope, spent his life looking at little tiny animals called bacteria, protozoa. He was even able to determine the size of these things using his little microscope. In fact, he was able to look at red blood cells. An amazing man who did some amazing things. The telescope and the microscope. Two inventions that help us improve our vision, expand our reach, see things that we couldn't see before. We know that modern telescopes are much more powerful than what they first invented. And we can see the billions and billions of stars in the universe and extend our vision to look at an ever-changing, ever-expanding world around us. And we have microscopes that are so powerful, we can see things that we didn't even know existed before. We know about things called atoms and protons and neutrons and quarks, and who knows what else we'll discover as microscopes become more and more powerful. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that before there was Galileo and before there was Antoine van Leeuwenhoek, there was the psalmist. If you take a look at the book of Psalms, you'll see that there are many passages that encourage us to extend our vision, to look deep into the world, to see things that we have never seen before. Most of the Psalms take us on a dizzying journey, looking from things from up to down, from in to out, from outside to inside, from topsy-turvy to right side up. And this passage that we read this morning from the Psalms is no different. The psalmist this morning encourages us to look at the world and to see things from in and out and find God there. So first I want to suggest to you that the psalmist encourages us to have a telescopic vision of God. Hear the words once again from Psalm 19, the first couple verses. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. You know that earlier in this century, there was a man named Yuri Gagarin, who was a cosmonaut and is credited with being the first man to be in space. Do you remember his chilling words, the conclusion that he came to as he was launched into space, the first one out there, and looked around and saw emptiness and darkness and all of the universe around him? And he concluded that he was in the heavens. And he looked around and could not find God. And therefore he concluded there was no God. You remember those words? Some of you were even alive back at the time that Yuri Gagarin made those words. I only read about it in my history books. Yuri Gagarin came to this conclusion, and I wonder what would have happened if instead of losing his eyes, he had used his ears instead. Because the psalmist says that the universe is calling out God's name all the time. That if he were to listen with his spiritual ears, he would have heard the cries of the twinkling stars, testifying to the loving hands that shot them into space. And he would have heard the mighty chorus of the planets as they testify to the great hands that molded them and spun them around and then placed them lovingly into orbit. And if he had used his spiritual ears, he would have heard the mighty bellow of the sun, singing of the warmth and radiant energy of the God who loves and cares for us deeply. One of the favorite things that I enjoy about going to Cape San Blas, other than being the brunt of their jokes, is on the first night when we gather together after dinner and before our evening session, we go in the front porch, that beautiful screen porch area, and we have a front row seat to one of God's most amazing miracles. The women know what's coming. We gather about the same time and we watch as that beautiful blank canvas called the sky and the clouds starts to get painted by a master painter with delicate strokes and beautiful hues and incredible colors. We see reds that we have never seen before, a little bit of orange, a little bit of some color we don't know what is. But it's a mighty drama that unfolds that we have a front row view for as the sun goes down every single night over the waters. One night I remember as one of the ladies remarked, "How can you look at a view like that and not believe in God?" Indeed. How can you not watch a sunset and not sense that there is a God? How can you not look at an infant's fingernails and not believe that there is a loving Creator? How can you not look at a snow-capped mountain where a turning leaf or a fragile spider web and realize that all these things cry out that there is an incredible God. The psalmist says that if you want to find and experience God, look at creation. Look out. Look deep. And you'll find it there. Because if human beings are silent, Jesus says, even the rocks will cry out in praise. The psalmist invites us to look at God with microscopic eyes as well. To look deep inside the human body and find something that we cannot see with human eyes. Something that is too deep, too embedded, that no microscope would even see it. The psalmist says that with microscopic eyes, with God's help, we can see the human soul. Hear the words again from the same psalm. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. God's word amplifies our vision. Through the words of the scriptures, we are able to look deep inside ourselves and see how our soul is doing. So the word of God in the Psalms is like a microscope. And if we can use it, we can use it to see how our soul is doing. We can gauge its growth. We can monitor its progress. We can see how our soul is doing each and every day. One of the phrases that John Wesley used to use to introduce his little Wesley Covenant groups was to ask each person personally, how is your soul today? What a great question. It's much better than how you doing today or how you been. How is your soul? How is your soul? And the only way you can come up with an answer to that is to use the microscopic scriptural eyes that God has given you to find out how indeed you are doing according to the standards of Scripture. But there's another way that God's word is like a microscope to us, because it can help us detect those things that we would often miss, those little nuggets of mistakes or sins that need to be rectified, those small little treasures of joy that we often take for granted, those little things that we can pray to God about, both joys and concerns, that we would too often miss unless we consulted the word of God. The psalmist says that there is a way to know and experience God by looking out into the heavens and by looking in to your soul through the scriptures. There is a microscopic and telescopic quality to God's vision for us. But there is one more symbol that I want to share with you this morning, a symbol that we celebrate every month, another way that we can reach out and reach in to the beautiful sacrament that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, of the bread and the cup. In just a few moments, we will be celebrating communion together. And I want to first suggest to you that through this act of receiving communion, we extend our vision beyond the walls of this church. Because whenever we participate in communion together, we're not alone. Joined together with us are the saints, young and old, all over the world, those who have lived before, and even those who will come after us, join together in this one glorious cosmic moment to celebrate the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. It is an incredible, outreaching, extending our vision moment. We are not alone. It is a powerful moment indeed. But there is also a way that communion can serve for us, a way of looking deeply into ourselves. As we reflect upon God's love and care for us through Jesus Christ, perhaps there will bubble up within you a reminder that you can be doing more for your God, or maybe more between you and someone else. Perhaps as you come to the altar rail this morning, you will be reminded of anger or hatred that you feel in your hearts for someone else. Or maybe you'll be reminded of some prejudice that serves as a barrier between you and other people, or some betrayal or past mistake that has been done to you that you must forgive someone for. Communion can serve as a powerful way of helping us look deeply into ourselves and making us right with God and making us right with other people. This morning, as we celebrate communion together, let us extend our vision. Let God's love and power magnify our eyes so that we can see the praises of God all around us, to see the depths and needs of our human souls, and to rectify ourselves one to another. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.